Let's start with the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. And when you look at the pictures that people are filming, the guy who was on the roof, and we later learned that that law enforcement snipers went inside the building from which the shooter shot at Donald Trump. How do you understand the situation of that day?
The Secret Service of the United States has one job and one job only. That's to prevent somebody from shooting at the protected individual. That's their job. That's the proactive side of their job, which is the most important part. There's a reactive side. Once somebody shoots, it's too late. The crime's been done, but you try to save the target, cover the target, evacuate the target. But the Secret Service doesn't exist for that reason. They exist to prevent the shot from being taken. The Secret Service failed. There's no other way to interpret what happened than they failed. That's understandable in protecting somebody in a situation like an American democracy where these protected people, seek to go out and be amongst the people. We are a representative democracy. So that's how it works. It's very difficult. You can't guarantee that no one's going to be able to come up with something. But if generally speaking, the Secret Service job is to eliminate all potential possibilities. That's their job. They do advanced surveys, security surveys, and then they come up with a plan. The Secret Service is a zero tolerance institution, meaning there's zero tolerance for failure. You can't fail. You can't. They relieve agents who make mistakes, slight mistakes. And I'm talking about mistakes that some people might think aren't a big deal. You can't be late. You have to have attention to detail. If your kit's off by a little bit, anything. Why? Because one mistake could cascade into the error that causes a breakdown in the security that you're supposed to put around the person being protected. What happened with Donald Trump was not a mistake. This was so massive that it had to be deliberate. The Secret Service is an institution that has zero tolerance for mistake, zero tolerance for error. And if that's the approach, when you're confronted with systemic failure of the system, it's deliberate. It can't be interpreted as any other way. Now, of course, we all want to wait and see what the investigation is, but here I have some concerns. Who's doing the investigation? If this is a systemic failure, meaning that the Secret Service was directly involved in facilitating the processes of the assassination attempt, that means the establishment is involved. It means, can you trust the Department of Homeland Security to investigate itself? It's investigating the Secret Service. The FBI's National Security Division is empowered by law to do this, but they're the ones that have been going after Donald Trump since 2016, Operation Crossfire Hurricane. The politicization and weaponization of national security apparatus against this man, Donald Trump, who has been classified, characterized by the President of the United States on down, the establishment, as representing an existential threat to American democracy, to America itself. An existential threat. That's life and death. That means if this man is elected, America dies. That's what they're saying. You cannot allow this man to be elected under any circumstance. If that's not a call for assassination, what is? If you're speaking to the American people, saying this man poses a threat that is the equivalent of Adolf Hitler, and some have made that claim, what do you do? That's why, I have likened what happened to, a Stephen King novel that was turned into a movie called The Dead Zone. Christopher Walken played in it, played Johnny, school teacher, came out of a coma, had the ability to see into the future. And he runs into Greg Stilson, played by Martin Sheen, who was a guy running for the Senate. And they shook hands, and Johnny saw the future. Stilson was going to become president and order a nuclear strike unprovoked against the Soviet Union, destroying the world. He went to his counselor, a Jew who survived the Holocaust. He said, if you could go back in time and kill Adolf Hitler to prevent the Holocaust, knowing you would die, would you do it? And the guy said, yes, of course I would. Well, you know, and anybody watching that movie, you know, would sit there and shake their head. Yeah, of course. You got to kill Adolf Hitler. You got to kill Adolf Hitler. You don't let evil survive. So if Donald Trump is being called the modern day equivalent of Adolf Hitler, who, if he gets elected, poses an existential threat to the survival of America, what signal is the president sending? What signal is every senator who echoed that sending? Every congressman or woman, representative, every media personality, every actor, every member of the establishment, every single one of them who echoed this disgusting behavior of the American president. And let me tell you why it's disgusting. America is a democracy. Now, we're a constitutional republic. Of course, everybody goes, Scott, we're not a democracy. Yes, I'm not stupid, and you shouldn't be either. I know it's a constitutional republic, but we use the processes of democracy to elect people who represent us within the framework of the constitutional republic. The constitutional republic means that we are a republic that's governed by the rules set forth by the Constitution. And, you know, Constitution empowers voting. It's an important thing. We promote the peaceful transition of power. We are premised, our existence is premised on the fact that our representatives are engaged in a battle of ideas. And the side that has the best ideas that can, you know, generate the most support amongst the people, who will then vote through democratic processes, tends to be in power. Again, their power is, of course, restricted by the four corners of the Constitution. It's not absolute power. Majority rules, you know, the Constitution protects the minority. We get it, but it's American democracy. That's what we're talking about here. The ability to put people in office who represent your ideas. The reason why we don't devolve into civil war every 4 years is because we have a tradition of the peaceful transition of power from one president to the other. Now, some people say, well, that's just a joke, Scott. That's just a facade. That what's really here is a duopoly, where the Republicans and Democrats are basically cut out of the same piece of cloth, and they sit on top of a pyramid we'll call the establishment or the deep state or the interagency or whatever you want to call it. It's an unelected body of technocrats and academics and experts who basically populate the bulk of what we call the government, the deep state. And that it's a joke that the Democrats and Republicans, you know, the reason why there's this peaceful transformation or transition of power is because it's the same. Nothing changes. That's a viable argument. I actually agree with that argument. But nonetheless, we have a tradition of the person with the best idea, who can get the most votes, will be the person in office. And the antidote to being beaten in an election is to come up with better ideas. That's what it's supposed to be all about. But here we have a situation where somebody has risen to the top of the pyramid who's not part of the duopoly. You know, Donald Trump used to be a Democrat, now he's a Republican, but he's neither. He's Donald Trump. He's created a literal cult of personality, which we call MAGA, Make America Great Again. And MAGA has taken over the Republican Party. There are Republican holdouts, traditionalists, Liz Cheney and others, who are like, he's not our president, da, 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 da. They're the establishment. Donald Trump has put a better idea out there. That doesn't mean that you have to agree with the idea or I have to agree with the idea. But it's an idea that many Americans, and maybe a majority of Americans, find that resonates within. A rejection of the establishment, a rejection of the duopoly, a recognition of the need to purge society of that which has constrained it, this corrupt, unelected mass called the deep state, That's the idea. The establishment can't allow that idea to win because it is of an existential nature. We're not talking about the death of American democracy here. We're not talking about the death of constitutional republic. We're talking about the death of the establishment, an unelected, ill-defined concept that the establishment won't even be honest about in telling it to the American people. They could continue to try and sell the American people on the notion that there's, you know, choice. There's no choice. Democrat, Republican, there's no choice until now. Now there's a real choice, and the establishment can't allow that to happen. They tried to destroy Donald Trump in 2016, the FBI, National Security Division, Operation Crossfire Hurricane. We know now today that was a 100% manufactured case with no basis in reality. It was the FBI working with the CIA, working with the Obama administration, working with the Hillary Clinton campaign to try and craft the narrative that Donald Trump was working with the Russians to undermine American democracy. Completely false narrative, completely false. But the FBI was the one that was promulgating that, along with the establishment, including the president. They tried to destroy him there. Trump came in. What was the first thing Hillary said? He's not elected. She challenged the legitimacy of his presidency from the very beginning, and so did the Democratic establishment. And then now we move on to 2020. Was the election stolen or wasn't it? The fact that we have to ask that question means there's a problem. I remember I wrote an article in after the election back in December before Biden was, you know, sworn in while Trump was still president. And I said that the election was stolen. And I firmly believe that. It was stolen by the establishment that did things differently. They went in and they changed the way elections work. They took advantage of the COVID pandemic to impose new systems of voting, the mail-in ballot, things that the system wasn't prepared. They rapidly rushed these through, probably in unconstitutional manners in certain states where they bypassed normal legislative processes to create a system that the Republicans couldn't adapt to. We'll call this extra constitutional means. And I wrote the article and I said, this is what happened. And I remember publishers both in America and out said, we can't touch that. Too conspiratorial. If you know anything about me, I hate conspiracy theories. I despise them with a passion. So I don't do conspiracy theories. I do facts. I do fact-based analysis. And I said, guys, this is good analysis. It's solid. Too risky to touch. You know, Trump is saying that the election was stolen. You're sounding too much like a pro-Trump guy. Anybody who knows anything about me knows I'm not a pro-Trump guy. I'm a pro-fact guy. Well, the week after I submitted the article was rejected, Time magazine ran a front page story talking about the extra constitutional means used by Google and the media and unelected representatives to create the conditions to steal the election from Donald Trump, to ensure that Donald Trump never won the election. It's exactly what I wrote in my article. And that's the fact. Now, what does that say? Now, I'm also somebody who said that once the constitutional processes of the 12th Amendment kicked in and Congress began counting the vote of the Electoral College, it's a done deal at that point in time. So sad, too bad, move on, do better next time. But the people that voted for Trump feel disenfranchised, because they're not part of the duopoly. See, normally Democrats and Republicans go, I should have had a V8. I should have voted. I mean, we lost, but we'll get them next time. We'll get them next time. Congratulations, but I'm going to get you next time. Because they're the same. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. But the MAGA guys are going, we want change. We demand change. We scream change. And we got 74 million votes that say we will have change, and you stole the election from us. And they firmly believe that. They firmly believe that. It doesn't matter what the media says. It doesn't matter what the courts say. Understand that the court challenges were challenges over recount. They never investigated actual fraud. They never investigated the role played by mail-in ballots. They just said the count's good. No one challenged the count. They're challenging the votes that were injected into the count. But, you know, so the system won't investigate the system. That's how the MAGA people believe. They believe that the system will back up that this was stolen and now they have to right this wrong. And that's what they're seeking to do by putting Trump back in. They're saying, we will right this wrong. They believe that the judiciary has been weaponized by the Biden administration to take down Donald Trump. And they're 100% correct. That doesn't mean that Trump didn't do anything wrong. Hell, everybody does something wrong. There's a book out there that postulates the theory that everybody in America commits 3 felonies a day. Just because the way the system is with all the laws and everything that we're not even aware of, simply by doing something, we're committing 3 felonies a day. Maybe I'm driving a car that isn't inspected. I am. It is. I mean, my car's inspected, so New York State people don't have to come at me. But maybe I am. Maybe as a result, I'm pumping carcinogens into the air. And the way the law is written, that if I'm doing that knowingly, I've committed some sort of pollution felony charge, and then it gets expanded. I'm just saying that, you know, the reality is you may think you're living a peaceful, law-abiding life, and you are committing 3 felonies a day. That's the premise of this book. Donald Trump has done things, whether it's documents, whether it's his real estate practice, that some people deem to be criminal in nature. But, you know, okay, but under the American way of justice, equal protection under the law means that, you know, you can't be prosecuted for something that the system says is not going to be prosecuted. Joe Biden had documents. He's not prosecuted. Why? Apparently he's too old to go to stand trial. Hillary Clinton violated with her emails. She's not being prosecuted. Barack Obama, I guarantee you, has classified documents that he's not supposed to have. Everybody at that level mishandles it. Why? Because they believe they're the president. They're above the law. They can do anything they want. This is their secrets. They can do it. Donald Trump did that. He's not a criminal. He's not a spy. Maybe he needed to be reined in a little bit. But the criminal prosecution here, no, it's politicized. It's done to keep Donald Trump from running for office. The same thing with the New York case, the same thing with what's going on in Georgia. These are cases that should never have been brought to trial. No crime was committed, but they've criminalized his activity in a way that they've never criminalized anybody else's for the sole purpose of keeping him out. They've also started a campaign to smear his character. They're bringing up old charges of, sex with underage people and things of that nature. Charges that were dismissed years ago as unfounded, they're making their way back into them. Why? Character assassination to keep this guy. And when all of it didn't work, when all of the efforts to keep this guy from running failed, they tried to kill him. And he should be dead. If you take a look at what happened that day, it is just, I'm not religious, but man, something happened there, because his head was literally in the only position it could be not to have his skull blown off. Any slight deviation and that high velocity 5.56 round would have turned his skull into pink mist. That's a sniper term. It means your head explodes. That's what would have happened on national TV live. But it didn't, because for whatever reason, he angled it just right and that bullet just clipped. Divine intervention? Who the hell knows? He's alive. He shouldn't be alive. The establishment tried to kill him. And that's the reality. And the establishment tried to kill him on orders of the President of the United States, who literally said, put a bullseye on this guy. He cannot be allowed to. Now, that doesn't mean the president knows about the details. It's like the Godfather, man. He just sort of went, he needs to, take a long nap, whatever you say. And then they go off. The system made it happen. The Secret Service is involved in this. The Secret Service is involved in this. They made this happen because they are the ones empowered to have stopped it. And they have all the tools necessary to have stopped it. Why they carved out the most likely sniper position from their perimeter security, that question must be asked. Can't be about a sloped roof. I mean, the director of the Secret Service needs to resign and needs to be investigated and possibly prosecuted, because she was handpicked by Jill Biden to be the director of the Secret Service responsible providing the protection to Donald Trump, which collapsed on the day of the assassination attempt. Is Jill Biden involved? I don't know. Let's investigate her, but we can't, because the FBI won't investigate because they're part of the establishment. The establishment can't investigate itself. This is the danger right now. How do we get to the truth? I mean, this is This is easy stuff. This is easy stuff. I'll give Congress a hint right now. Form a special committee. Delegate, go to each governor and have the governor provide you their best law enforcement people. Form a committee of people committed to best law enforcement practices and have them investigate this. People who don't have a dog in this hunt. People who don't have skin in the game. But you can't have the FBI investigate an assassination attempt against the president that they're probably involved in. You can't have the Secret Service investigate itself. You can't have the Department of Homeland Security investigate this. This needs to be taken to the people. And the people are represented by the Congress, and Congress can work with the governors who are elected by the people to create a people's committee, because we need that right now. The establishment is at war with American democracy. They tried to kill a man who wasn't part of the system, wasn't part of the establishment. It's a very dangerous time for American democracy. Very, very dangerous time. We teeter on the brink of civil war, of revolution. Let me explain why. When you take away the power of the vote, when you nullify democracy by saying your vote doesn't count, and remember, from the MAGA perspective, this is the second time the establishment has done this. First by stealing an election in 2020, and now by trying to assassinate their candidate. When you remove the viability of democratic processes, you invite civil war, because people now no longer have trust and confidence in the system. It's no longer about, I'll wait 4 years and come up with a better idea. It's, you are doing everything necessary to nullify me, to make me a non-factor, and I'm not going to put up with that anymore. The premise of the American Revolution, Declaration of Independence, is when governments cease to represent the consent of the governed. When it's gone, the people have a right to rise up. You are literally inviting revolution by operating in the matter. When I say you, I mean the establishment. The government of the United States is literally inviting revolution. And if the executive branch is so thoroughly corrupted that this is what the product is, then it's time for the legislative branch to step in and create a independent investigative committee designed to get to the bottom of this, because that's the only way you're going to preserve American democracy, to ensure that every vote, whether it's a vote for the establishment or the vote for the non-establishment, every vote matters. That's the only way this constitutional republic survives.
When you see CNN just pointing out, maybe cautiously, maybe Iran is behind this, and in your opinion, who's going to buy this? In the United States.
No one's going to buy that. Iran wasn't behind this. I don't know. I mean, I used to be in the intelligence business, and I can guarantee you this. This is an absolute guarantee. This is an assessment not derived from hard intelligence. This is an assessment that is derived from the Iranian response to the assassination of Qasem Soleimani, where Iran said there will be retaliation. So automatically you have a team saying we have to be looking for this. Iran just had a new election for a new president where issues of this nature were discussed, where the passions that were generated by the assassination of Qasem Soleimani were, new life was breathed into these passions, and people were saying things about the need to bring revenge and all that. So you have all this. And you now have a political problem. The establishment has a political problem. I'm just telling you, this is all about the establishment. The establishment has a political problem because they failed to kill Donald Trump. So now they need to divert attention away. And so they reached in, they said, spit me something out about Iran. You guys have been looking at that. Just give me something. Bam. And they release it. That's what happened here. This isn't about real intelligence. It's fake intelligence. It's an assessment politicized by an American intelligence community that has long ago lost all credibility. They don't exist to tell the truth anymore. They exist to serve their political masters, and their political masters is the very establishment that tried to kill Donald Trump. Don't trust this intelligence at all.
When you look at Senator Vance, that Trump says he gonna be his vice president, in your opinion, what would that bring to the conflict in Ukraine, and what does it mean to the foreign policy of the United States?
Let's get real. What did Mike Pence bring to the Trump presidency? Go back and reverse engineer every major foreign policy decision made by Donald Trump, and tell me what role Mike Pence played in those decisions. Donald Trump is Donald Trump. Donald Trump makes the decisions. J.D. Vance was brought in for political reasons. They could have short-term political objectives that are related to the upcoming election and long-term political objectives, with Donald Trump realizing he's a one-term president and he needs to have somebody to turn the reins of power over to. J.D. Vance is a MAGA Republican, straight up MAGA. There's good, the bad, and the ugly about that. You know, I'm not saying that's a good thing. It's just saying that's what it is. He's a MAGA guy. So when you have a MAGA president, he's going to pick a MAGA vice president, because I think at this point in time, Donald Trump understands that he, you know, in the primary, he went to war against the Republican establishment. Now, yes, he brought Nikki Haley and he brought, you know, Ron DeSantis up on the stage. These are, you create, you know, unity things. But those guys, they don't like Donald Trump. The Republican establishment doesn't like Donald Trump. MAGA loves Donald Trump. So Donald Trump pick a MAGA vice president because he wants 12 years of MAGA. And if you're somebody who believes that the establishment needs to be disenfranchised, that's probably the only cure that there is out there. 12 years of non-establishment government, which will be ugly as hell. But take a look at the trajectory that the establishment's taken America in the last couple of years, both domestically and foreign policy. It might be needed. That's a decision the American people get to make. On Ukraine, Donald Trump will do what Donald Trump wants to do, not what J.D. Vance wants to do. I don't see Donald Trump pulling a Barack Obama, who appointed, you know, Joe Biden to be the Ukraine front man. I don't see Donald Trump telling J.D. Vance, go solve the biggest problem that confronts my presidency. No, that's Donald Trump's job. Donald Trump will seek to solve this problem. J.D. Vance will be on the sidelines, learning, observing. But I don't think J.D. Vance will have any say whatsoever in this. Look at the way that he was recruited last second. This wasn't a deep courtship. This wasn't Donald Trump sitting down with J.D. Vance going, now tell me again what you think about this. Tell me what you think about that. No, this was Donald Trump playing, you know, kingmaker, and at the last second making a call to J.D. Vance and bringing him in. He doesn't care what J.D. Vance says. If he did, I mean, he would never have made him vice president. Because in 2016, J.D. Vance said a whole bunch of stuff against Donald Trump that was pretty derogatory, even likening him to Adolf Hitler. So, you know, this was purely, I think, short-term political gesture designed to stamp him as MAGA, to say, I am not Republican. On this election, screw the establishment. I'm done with the establishment. You put Nikki Haley up against me, and she ran an ugly campaign. You put Ron DeSantis up against me, he ran an ugly campaign. Not as ugly as Nikki's. But, you know, that's not me. I'm not beholden to them. They came here to ask for unity, to bring the Republicans to MAGA. I'm not taking MAGA to the Republicans. And the greatest FU is J.D. Vance. He's the MAGA guy. I think that's what this was. And I also think it's Donald Trump recognizing that if he wants to have, if he wants to put in place, you know, changes, that these changes have to extend beyond a four-year term. In order to do that, he has to have somebody who can continue the MAGA agenda after he leaves. You can't bring in a Republican, start kicking the establishment for 4 years, and then have the Republican win election, you know, in 2008. You think he's going to continue MAGA? No, he's going to go back to his habits. I'm a Republican. I'm the establishment. We're going to fix this thing. We're going to change. You know, we're going to reverse the changes. Donald Trump wants to initiate processes that are irreversible, but they can only be irreversible if you have, say, a 12-year window of opportunity, and that's where J.D. Vance comes in. But on Ukraine, No, Donald Trump will solve the Ukraine problem, not J.D. Vance. So you have to look to Donald Trump and what he's saying and what he's thinking. J.D. Vance will have zero influence on Donald Trump. That's my assessment, because that's not who Donald Trump is. And here's the other thing, too. Donald Trump has been changed by this assassination attempt. You know, he had a speech written for tomorrow night, Thursday night, that he tore up. Would he have picked, if it weren't for the assassination attempt, would he have picked J.D. Vance? We don't know, because there's other people out there. Which direction we got? This assassination attempt has changed him. And he himself has said that. You know, Ronald Reagan was shot in March 1981. And he himself said that assassination attempt, the closeness of dying, caused him to reflect on things. And one of the things he reflected on was the relationship with the Soviet Union, the need for arms control, the need to avoid nuclear conflict. I think Donald Trump is now starting to think about existential legacy. How do we avoid a nuclear war with Russia? Things that may not have been politically possible should he have been tied to the Republican Party, as he may have been prior, you know, if the assassination attempt, because prior to the assassination attempt, this election was a coin toss, you know, and it was still possible for the Democrats to, you know, to prevail. After this, as long as Donald Trump stays alive, I think he's unbeatable. I think he takes the House. I think he takes the Senate. When I say he, I mean he. I don't mean the Republicans. I mean he. I mean MAGA. MAGA takes the House. MAGA takes the Senate. MAGA takes the presidency. Now, some people are scared to death about that. Shouldn't have tried to kill the guy, guys. You should have tried to have just better ideas, you know. But now you tried to kill the guy. Now he's empowered. But I think he's looking at this saying, I have a chance to do great things. Will he be able to execute it? I don't know. But I do believe that the next 4 years is all about Donald Trump and what his vision is. And J.D. Vance will have minimal impact on this whatsoever.